one of the significant differences, and a part certainly that endears me to my work, is that we see patients over a period of time. So, for example, over the 5 years that I've been here, there are patients I've been following and relating to the whole time that I've been here. Another piece of that is that I'm a part of the whole continuum of care many times, from time of diagnosis and certainly celebrating with people when they're cancer-free, but also there at times of reoccurrence or times of end of life, sometimes participating in memorial services or funerals, and then also doing some grief follow-up with families. So there's this opportunity to develop and to nurture relationships over time. And I think that's part of what builds up this place of trust and opportunity to kind of be a spiritual guide and healing presence for people.
What are some of the things that people want to talk to you about?
Initially, they want to share their story, what happened or what they know about their illness and how they're coping and adjusting. For many people, particularly those that are struggling more with spiritual distress, dealing with strong emotions, with fear, with anger, with anxiety, with depression, sometimes with a sense of being alone in this illness. Patients will tell us, I can be in a room full of people and surrounded by people and still feel very alone in this illness. For some, it's this search for meaning, for purpose, for asking, you know, big questions. Why is this happening to me? You know, why is God allowing this to happen? Or you know, why is there this kind of suffering in the world? And the reality, cancer isn't the only thing we're dealing with in life, right? Most people that I meet, there are other issues related to relationships and family and other things that they're struggling with. So it's really kind of entering into what their experience is at that time.
Well, you mentioned a question that they have is, why is this happening and why is this happening to me? Do you have any good answers to give them?
Well, of course, as a good chaplain would say, you know, the answer comes from the person that you're listening to. And I firmly believe that. As a chaplain, my job is certainly to be grounded in my own religious tradition and to live, to serve from that place. But my job is really to honor the person that I'm working with and to listen to their experience, how they make meaning and purpose, what is the sacred to them, what is holy, and then to encourage them to dig and to explore those answers themselves. Ultimately, you know, I think there are not a lot of great answers to the why in this life. I think there's some things that we're going to understand greater when we know more fully. But I do think, you know, the question is not always just why, but what now? What am I going to do now that I'm in this situation? How am I going to respond and live? I also think the wrestling with that question sometimes is just a wrestling. People want to be heard. They want to describe some of the angst that they're feeling when life sometimes feels like it just doesn't make sense.
What are the toughest cases that you come across as a cancer chaplain?
Well, there are several that are difficult. Certainly some of our younger patients, patients with young families, can be difficult and challenging situations. Some of our patients that don't have a very good support system, that are very limited in the resources and coping abilities that they have in dealing with illness and with treatment. And then I think the most difficult are those that are having a hard time finding any hope. I think that comes sometimes for our patients that have undergone treatment for a long time and perhaps don't see an end to that. You know, they have an advanced progression of the disease and are pretty much going to be on treatment of some sort for the remainder of their days. And of course, people can cope and deal with that well, but if you don't have hope, that can be a very difficult and desperate place to be.
How do you feel you give people hope, or can you give people hope?
Again, I think, you know, you listen to a person's story and try to connect with the resources that they have, but ultimately you ask questions about hope. What gives you hope? Where where is your hope now? And of course, everyone hopes for a cure. That's my hope for all of our patients as well. But I, you know, I talk about hope moving. You know, some it may move, hope may move to having more time. Hope may move to quality of life. Hope may move to a peaceful death. And ultimately, you know, I encourage people to recognize that hope is something bigger, that there is an ultimate hope, and there's, you know, to explore what that source of meaning and purpose and divine might be for them.
What has been maybe your most memorable case that you've worked on?
All the remarkable, wonderful people that I meet. It's really a privilege to do this kind of work and to enter into people's lives at such a vulnerable time. But I'm going to share about a young man that I met several years ago. When he came to us, he was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. He very quickly found his life facing many losses, you know, being unable to work, being much weaker, and then unable to drive his motorcycle, which was one of the loves of his life, and, you know, weaker to the point where he was unable to do a lot of his own care. And even as his life got smaller, he was seeking ways to make life bigger. We did a project here called The Wall of Hope, where people painted images of what gives them hope. And he, along with a local artist, created this beautiful image of a road less traveled, a road that splits. And he says, you can face adversity and illness and you can go down a dark path, or you can choose to still find some beauty in the simple things of life, sitting on your porch and watching the squirrels go by, talking to a friend, listening to music. And so as his world got smaller, he was really seeking ways to live it to the fullest. It was kind of like my own Tuesdays with Maury experience with a patient here.
How do you keep up your spirits? Because as you mentioned, sometimes you're called to speak at the funeral of someone that you've seen through the journey of their cancer treatment.
Following my own spiritual practices is critical, really, to my own health and my own prayer life, particularly contemplative prayer, centering prayer that quiets me, both in my life at home, but also taking brief moments for that in my work. And I think the other piece that helps me on a daily basis in my ministry here is to take that pause before I ever enter into a conversation with someone, to set my intention to be fully present to that person and all in that moment, and to their experience, to what it is that they need to say, and where it is that they find their meaning, their purpose, their sense of connection.
There may be someone listening right now who's just gotten a cancer diagnosis, or someone they love, they're close to, has just gotten a cancer diagnosis. What can you say to them?
I would say to them that finding your own sense of spirituality can be an important part of your healing. It's so easy to put all of our focus on the medical piece, on surgery, on radiation, on chemotherapy, on appointments, and to lose something that can ground you. There's so much of the process of illness that we cannot control. The one thing that we do have some ability to control is how we respond to it. And that's an inside job. And, you know, all people are spiritual beings. Some of us have a religious expression of that, but all of us have a way that we make meaning out of life and find a sense of purpose for our living. So finding some simple practices and engaging with those, whether that's prayer or meditation or quiet or reading, doing spiritual readings, taking a walk in nature, doing some kind of creative project, having heart-to-heart conversations with those you love, finding some ways to ground yourself in the midst of that experience, I think is important.
We've been talking with Cheryl Peterson Carlin, who is the chaplain at the Community Cancer Center. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
I'm Judy Valente.